的 village 小镇天台，天台。然后呢，啊，对呀，呀 ，OK。Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon. On behalf of the Black Ace Institute, I want to welcome you to this press conference. My name is Phil Wilson. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Black Ace Institute. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce our panelists, beginning with Dr. Helene Gale, the President and CEO of CARE USA. Next to her is the Honorable Barbara Lee, a member of the U.S. Congress. Next to Congresswoman Lee is Pernessa Seal, founder and chief executive officer of the Bomb in Gilead. Next we have Dr. Jacob Gale, vice president of the Ford Foundation. And last but not least, we have actor and activist Ms. Cheryl Lee Ralph. Founded in 1999, the Black AIDS Institute is the only national HIV/AIDS think tank in the United States focused exclusively on black people. Our mission is to end the AIDS epidemic in black communities by engaging and mobilizing traditional black leaders, institutions, church-based organizations, civil rights organizations, in efforts to confront HIV and AIDS. We do that by providing training and capacity building, disseminating information, and acting as advocates for effective AIDS policies. And as we say, we do it from a uniquely and unapologetically black point of view. There's a lot of talk here this week about the news that AIDS in the United States is much worse than had previously acknowledged. And while it's shocking to see the CDC numbers, for most of us working in AIDS, particularly those of us working in AIDS in black America, this is not news. We have known for years that the United States has been undercounting its epidemic and consistently failing to respond to the needs of those infected and those most at risk. This failure to respond is particularly acute in black America. The Institute released a report called Left Behind, which illustrates just how profoundly AIDS in the United States has become a black disease. 27 years after the identification of AIDS and 12 years after combination antiretroviral therapy became available, 500,000 black Americans are infected, and over 25,000 new infections each year. Maya Angelou said, when we know better, we do better. When we know better, we do better. After all the news of this week, clearly, we now know better. The question is, do we have the moral courage to do better? Now, enough talk already. It is time for action. And this conference, this press conference, we are calling for action. We are calling today for a national AIDS strategy for the United States, a clear, aggressive plan of action to provide HIV education, prevention, and treatment to all who need it. This national AIDS strategy would be the equivalent of a U.S. PEPFAR, incorporating many of the same approaches the U.S. recommends for other countries with serious HIV epidemics. Specifically, this strategy must, number one, set and meet ambitious national AIDS reduction goals through measurable, sustained increases in access to effective HIV prevention and treatment. Number two, invest at least $1.3 billion per year as identified by the Federal AIDS Policy Partnership to implement a comprehensive national prevention strategy that includes sexual risk reduction, including abstinence, negotiated safety, and proper condom usage. risk reduction for HIV drug users, including needle exchange programs and other harm reduction strategies, and access to substitution therapy and drug treatment, and access to preventative health care for all Americans. Number three, support for efforts such as the Test 1 Million campaign, a national campaign to raise awareness about the importance of HIV screening and utilization of treatment by providing voluntary testing and counseling to 1 million African Americans at elevated risk for infection and who do not know their HIV status. And number four, support for traditional black institutions to develop their capacity to make AIDS a top priority and a central component of their work. The Left Behind report shows us what black America would look like if it were a country unto itself. Black America would have more people living with HIV than the total HIV population of 7 of the 15 PEPFAR countries. Outside of sub-Saharan Africa, only 4 countries have adult HIV prevalence as high as the conservative estimate, 2% among adults, for black America. Life expectancy in black America is lower than that of Algeria and the Dominican Republic and Sri Lanka. Infant mortality in black America is twice as high as infant mortality in Cuba and markedly higher than in Belarus, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Estonia, and Russia. The U.S. is a leader against AIDS all over the world, and we strongly applaud that leadership. But the U.S. is not leading against the epidemic within its own border. The U.S. is currently failing its people, and that's a direct attack on black America. Today, we are demanding the immediate implementation of a national AIDS strategy for the United States. As my grandmother used to say, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Call it a domestic PEPFAR, if you will. Our other speakers will have more to say on this topic and others. But now I would like to introduce our first guest, someone who has great insight into both the U.S. and global AIDS epidemic, CARE CEO and President, Dr. Helene Gayle.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Phil. And thank you for the leadership that you have shown in producing this report on Left Behind. I think it really is high time that we reinvigorate our response to HIV and AIDS in the United States with a focus on the populations most affected by this epidemic. Now, as Phil mentioned, the data that was just released from the CDC show a large gap in our knowledge on how HIV is moving in American society, and we applaud the efforts to get better numbers and better estimates, but I think it does show that we have been behind the eight ball in many ways, and a significant gap in the national response to the epidemic is evident, and it's increasing in an epidemic in black America. As an epidemiologist and for somebody who has worked both domestically in the United States and globally for over 2 decades, I'd like to talk about how AIDS manifests in black America and how our response to that epidemic in no way matches the reality or the needs. There are lessons to share between the aspects of the epidemic in Africa and other seriously affected regions and the epidemic among black people in the United States, and that's what I want to talk about. So what are some of these parallels, and what are some of the lessons that we could learn from our work internationally that could help us to address the epidemic among blacks in America? As in Africa, HIV in the United States takes a tremendous toll on black women. Black women are 23 times more likely than white women to be diagnosed with AIDS. As in other parts of the world, many black women in the United States are more vulnerable to HIV because of gender inequality, lack of decision-making in sexual relationships, and black women often can't insist on things that we use simplistically in our prevention messages like abstinence or use of condom because of fear of violence or other types of emotional and physical abuse from their partners. As in Africa and Asia and Eastern Europe, young people in Black America are at high risk for HIV because of inadequate HIV knowledge, high prevalence of intergenerational relationships, and particularly for young black women, and a lack of youth-tailored HIV prevention programs that really put prevention in the hands of young people and have programs that are tailored to their needs, to their culture, to their realities. As is true throughout the world, Black American men who have sex with men are at very high risk, more than twice the rate of HIV infection as their white counterparts. Blacks account for more than half of drug-related HIV infections in the United States, and the U.S. faces some of the same HIV prevention challenges as other parts of the world, including the hostility that we see to harm reduction, and the high rates of incarceration without access to HIV prevention and treatment, and the high rates of homophobia. Black Americans are generally diagnosed with HIV very late in the disease process. The time between HIV diagnosis and AIDS diagnosis is very short in Black America, often less than 12 months. And that rate of late diagnosis is correlated with worse outcomes, including earlier deaths for Black people living with HIV. The Left Behind report points out that the federal government's approach to the epidemic in Black America is fundamentally flawed because it uses only a concentrated epidemic model that focuses exclusively on high-risk populations. However, in many parts of Black America, we realize that transmission is being experienced outside of those so-called high-risk groups, and that there's greater interface between groups that are considered to be high-risk and what would be considered the general population. So that interface is different, and treating it as if it's only concentrated epidemics and using strategies that focus only on concentrated epidemics does not necessarily work in Black populations with the interface that occurs. Black America needs a broader and more intensive mix of prevention initiatives, including initiatives that are designed by Black Americans and the Black community. Such an effort will require more time, it will require more money, and an effort on the parts of a number of players, both inside and outside of the Black community. But we've already seen what happens when we try to address AIDS quickly, on the cheap, or with a one-size-fits-all strategy. We end up with a bigger epidemic that kills more people, and that's what we have today in Black America. That's what we have to change, and if we don't, then I think we'll be back here 2 years from now and 2 years from now and 2 years from now reviewing the same kind of data and the same sort of inadequate response. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gale. And now we have the Honorable Barbara Lee, a member of the U.S. Congress representing Alameda County and an instrumental force in the creation and the authorization of PEPFAR.
Thank you, Phil, first of all, and all of the staff at the Black AIDS Institute for your work in putting this press conference together, but also for your work in producing this very powerful and very important report. And I want to also thank you for continuing to raise the importance of the plight of the African American community in terms of the AIDS epidemic to the international arena at these international conferences. It's so important that the world understands that we are part of the global family. And I think this report today that we're discussing, you know, documents that, puts it in perspective, but your work and the Black AIDS Institute and building for this through these international AIDS conferences have been remarkable. So thank you very much. Let me also thank all of our panelists here for their leadership in combating this deadly disease. It's good to be with so many friends. They are out on the front lines each and every day. This is their life's work, and so it's an honor to be with all of you again today. As the only member of Congress, actually, who's been to each of the last five international AIDS conferences, ever since the Durban Conference in 2000, I have... Well, let me just say, it's important because for members of Congress to come to this, because these reports, what takes place at these conferences, are so important for Capitol Hill to understand. And so I've continually tried to educate my colleagues about the state of HIV and AIDS throughout the world, and also in the United States, particularly among the African-American community and communities of color. So I'm pleased, as I said earlier, to see this report coming forward. It's very thought-provoking, and I'm definitely going to make sure that it receives the type of attention on Capitol Hill that it truly deserves. As a co-author, as Phil mentioned, of virtually every bipartisan global AIDS bill that has passed in Congress over the last 10 years, including the most recent legislation extending and expanding the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, I am pleased by our progress in combating this disease globally abroad. However, our progress in combating this disease at home has not met with the same results. As the new numbers from the CDC show, AIDS is still running rampant in America, especially among African-American women and young gay men in the African-American community. I want to talk for a moment about PEPFAR and about why I believe that we need to have a domestic PEPFAR bill. The United States, as I said, should be proud of the tremendous accomplishments of the PEPFAR program. In a few years, PEPFAR has become the biggest provider of HIV/AIDS treatment and prevention services globally, and it has saved many, many lives. But PEPFAR is not a perfect program. While we have made many improvements in this bill, including, which I'm very pleased to report, we did remove and repeal the 33% abstinence until marriage earmark. We got rid of that one in this PEPFAR, and the President signed it. We did that. But there could be much more to do. There is much more to do, and much more we will do. But let's focus on what's been successful about PEPFAR, because it provides several important lessons for the HIV/AIDS response we need in our own country. First and foremost, PEPFAR brought together civil society, host governments, donors, and the private sector to support one single unified national AIDS strategy, mind you, a national AIDS strategy to guide implementation of HIV/AIDS initiatives. PEPFAR brought considerable new resources to deliver health services, helping to build, which is very important, health infrastructure where few or no services are available. PEPFAR also brought a results-oriented approach with attention to careful monitoring of outcomes in the delivery of prevention and treatment services. At the highest level, PEPFAR sets overall targets for treatment and prevention delivery globally, and all partners, including the United States-based staff, are focused on saving lives and delivering measurable results. On the ground, PEPFAR promotes real partnerships between NGOs and governments, and it requires monitoring of service delivery and outcomes. These elements, significant resources, target setting, monitoring, and partnerships, have brought an urgency to the PEPFAR effort that has been so critical to all that has been accomplished. So where is our PEPFAR for the United States? We need a domestic AIDS response that brings new resources to an effort that has been virtually flat-funded for years. Now, we need to double CDC's HIV prevention budget to at least, mind you, at least $1.3 billion. And provide at least $610 million, which is still too low, I believe, for the Minority AIDS Initiative, which was established under the leadership of Congresswoman Maxine Waters in the Congressional Black Caucus, I believe it was 1999. And this initiative needs more money. I mean, even $600 million is too low for the Minority AIDS Initiative. And we have to expand funding for treatment services under the Ryan White Care Act. We also need to rebuild our health infrastructure in communities around the country. And in America, we do need universal health care. That has got to be high on our agenda. Universal health care. We need a domestic AIDS response that is oriented around achieving clear and ambitious objectives in terms of reducing HIV infection rates, increasing access to care, and reducing racial and ethnic health disparities. And we need a response that builds stronger partnerships between communities and our public health service agencies. Most importantly, we need a national AIDS strategy that can coordinate a targeted national response to stop the spread of HIV and provide access to treatment for all of those infected. We need that, and we need that now. We need it now. For years, the United States has been a global leader in the response to the HIV/AIDS pandemic while neglecting our own serious AIDS epidemic at home. So now we must learn the lessons of our own global response and launch a better, resourced, evidence-based, and result-oriented effort to address AIDS at home. Finally, let me just say I was very pleased to hear President Clinton, who is such a great leader in the fight against HIV and AIDS. Here he just said that he saw the report, he referenced this report, and he committed the President Bill Clinton Foundation to really begin to address this. And I tell you, I was so happy to hear him at this international conference put that on this agenda. And in my own county, we declared a state of emergency in Alameda County in Oakland, California, which has taken the lead in many, many respects on the whole testing initiative. So there are things taking place throughout our country that provide us hope, but we need this national strategy. So we must do better, we can do better, and we will do better. Thank you again, Phil, so much for this.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lee. Next we have Pernessa Seal, the founder and CEO of The Bomb in Gilead. The Bomb in Gilead has led a pioneering effort to advocate and to recruit faith-based organizations in the fight against HIV.
Thank you, Phil. And welcome to all of you, and it's always good to be with my colleagues up here on the dais. As the CEO and founder of The Bomb in Gilead, an organization working both in Africa and in Black America, specifically working in Tanzania and in Black America, I am very happy, very honored, and very happy of my government's response to Black people in Africa. But I am very disgusted and very frustrated of my government's response to AIDS among its own citizens. In Tanzania, the Bomb in Gilead is a vital component of a comprehensive plan to effectively address HIV/AIDS. A vital component. We come together every week, government, civil societies, NGOs, working to make sure that that plan is implemented, funded by my government. And yet, in Black America, there is no plan. In Tanzania, 65% of the teenagers are HIV positive in Tanzania. And my government is doing something about it. In the United States, among all teenagers with HIV and AIDS, 65% are African American teens, and my government is doing very little, if anything, about it. The U.S. federal effort, in many ways, is a patchwork, not well coordinated, and not accountable for making steady progress in bringing down the incidence, increasing access to care, or reducing racial disparities in the epidemic, as it is in Tanzania and other countries, as you know. One essential element in building a more effective domestic response to HIV/AIDS is the implementation of a true national AIDS strategy. The national AIDS plan of the past have often lacked clear objectives or accountability mechanisms, and they often did not coordinate work across federal agencies as they do in Tanzania. We need a national AIDS strategy that focuses on all our governments, healthcare providers, and communities on achieving steadily improved results as they do in Tanzania. Over the last year, support for a creation of a national AIDS strategy in the U.S. has been gaining momentum. Over 250 organizations and hundreds of individuals are endorsing a call to action of a national AIDS strategy. That call to action outlines several principles necessary to creating a strategy that can make a real impact like it is doing in Tanzania. An effective national AIDS strategy will require presidential leadership, a top-level commitment to making progress in the response to AIDS at home in Black America, as it is doing in Tanzania. We have the tools in hand in the U.S., in Black America, to significantly bring down the rates of new HIV infections, increase access to life-saving care, and reduce racial disparities. A comprehensive, result-oriented national AIDS strategy can help us make steady progress in addressing the AIDS epidemic at home, as it is doing in Tanzania. The African-American faith community, of which the Bomb in Gilead represents, is calling on our president, members of U.S. Congress, healthcare providers, all of America, and specifically all of Black America, to stand up and to support an effective national AIDS strategy in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seale. While the Black AIDS Institute led the effort in the production of this report is also part of a national Black AIDS mobilization led by the Bomb in Gilead, the National Black Leadership Commission on AIDS, and the Magic Johnson Foundation. And so we want to thank those partners for this effort today. Our next speaker is Dr. Jacob Gale, Executive Vice President for the Ford Foundation.
Thank you very much, Phil, and I appreciate being here with all of my friends, colleagues, and sister. I wanted to say before I mention our reaction and response that several of us have been together for over 20 years, and having been rubbing off a little bit next to Reverend Pernessa, for over 20 years we have been crying aloud and we have been sparing not. This is not a new message. We've realized that this has been the impact in African America for almost since the beginning of the epidemic. And yet, as we prophesied over those decades, we now have seen the devastation and the impact that the report talks about and that has been reported upon not only through the Black AIDS Institute document, but also together with the upward revision of CDC's annual number of new HIV infections. It clearly highlights the fact that critical federal HIV prevention and treatment programs in the U.S. have not received the funding increases necessary over the past several years. And as the AIDS epidemic has grown worse each year in the U.S., funding for vital AIDS programs have truly remained either flat or actually declined in real terms. So while it's appropriate for us to look critically at what government is or what government is not doing, it's also important that we remember that government cannot solve the AIDS problem on its own. Truly, this needs to be a partnership response that includes not only our public sector, but private sector, and in fact really led by affected communities. We all must recognize that the United States cannot afford an epidemic of this scale, which is costing the lives of young men and women in extraordinary numbers. This crisis demands that every sector of the country, the private sector, government agencies, funding organizations, nonprofits, and others, that they all make it an urgent priority to address the epidemic where it's hitting hardest, and that's in Black America. And given the impact of HIV upon the workforce age and the population most engaged in the fruitful investment as well as the leadership and employment in the United States, it means that employers have a definite increased opportunity to serve through supporting their workforce, the workforce-related families, and the communities in which they're located. And let's not forget even the public consumers upon whom our employers depend. There's good news. So a number of leading companies, such as Black Entertainment Television, MTV, and MAC Cosmetics, have stepped up to the plate to partner with government in addressing the AIDS epidemic in the United States. Yet more need to do so. We need more workplace HIV prevention programs. We need more company-sponsored HIV testing initiatives. We need more HIV awareness campaigns that are supported by the private sector. Philanthropic organizations, foundations, also have a critical role to play in invigorating the AIDS response in the U.S. From the epidemic's early years, private foundations have led the way in supporting innovative program models that were later adapted and adopted by government and other partners. According to the analyses that were conducted most recently by the funders concerned about AIDS, the level of foundation giving for domestic AIDS in the U.S. has significantly declined. And while more foundations are supporting international AIDS initiatives, fewer are really addressing the issue of HIV/AIDS within the United States. So in summary, this new report by the Black AIDS Institute demonstrates for me and for the organization I represent that private foundations must truly once again step up to the plate and support programs in black communities to fight an epidemic that is much, much more serious than we previously thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gale. I would be remiss if I did not mention that the Ford Foundation is not just providing lip service to this issue. This report would not have been possible without support from the Ford Foundation and from the Elton John Foundation. And so we want to thank them for putting their money where their mouth is. Last but not least, we want to introduce our final speaker. She is a board member of the Black AIDS Institute. She is an actor. Many people know her as the original Dream Girl. But most importantly, I think, today, she is an outstanding AIDS activist, Ms. Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. I thank everybody sitting up here today. I thank them all for the kind of work that they have been doing for so long. But to all of you sitting out there who have the power of the pen, to everybody out there who is going to write a story, to everybody out there who's going to push a button and send a message out into cyberspace, I need you to do something different. It cannot be business as usual when it comes to black people and AIDS. Black people and AIDS in America. Black people and AIDS around the world. Something must be done differently. Because if you sprechen Sie Deutsch, AIDS is a problem. Usted habla español, el SIDA está un problema. Vous parlez français, le SIDA est un problème. You speak English, AIDS is a problem. And I want you to deal up front and in your stories about the ism, because ism is playing a big part in what has happened, what does not happen, and what will not happen in the future if we don't do something different. I had a moment. I spoke with Senator Hillary Clinton, and I said, Senator, what about AIDS in America? She stopped what she was doing. She turned to me and she said, if AIDS were affecting the general population the way it is affecting women of color, black women especially, there would be a national health emergency. That was 2 years ago. 2 days ago, the report came out from the CDC that the numbers of AIDS, as it had been calculated in black America, are far more than they expected. When will the national emergency take place? When will somebody get truly outraged? When is somebody going to value black people? I'm not a charity case. I'm not a poverty case. I'm not looking for a handout. I am looking to be valued as a full, complete human being. Whether I am on the continent of Africa, whether I'm on the hills in Japan, whether I am in Hawaii, whether I'm in the mountains of Central America, if I am Negro, Cimarron, I want to be valued as a human being. I want you to listen to me when I talk to you and I have an accent. I want you to know that I am important just like you. I want you to look at black me and stop looking past me. Stop looking around me. I need a seat at the table. I need a seat at the table. Stop writing policy for me, and you haven't really talked to me. Stop telling me what I need to be doing, and you don't know me. So if you've got the power of the pen, you're going to push that button into the internet. I need you to write and do something different, because I am black. I am in the world, and I matter just like anybody else.
Thank you, Cheryl Lee. So in summary, we are calling for four things. One, a national AIDS strategy. Two, an investment of a minimum of $1.3 billion for prevention and over $600 million for the Minority AIDS Initiative. If we can make a commitment to invest $48 billion for PEPFAR, and we're glad we made that commitment, we should be able to make a commitment for a comprehensive prevention in the United States. Number three, support for innovative programs like the Test 1 Million campaign. And number four, support for traditional black institutions to develop the capacity to build a mass black mobilization in America. And with that, we'd like to open it to questions. When you ask your question, we're asking you to announce the organization that you are with. So the floor is now open for questions. Yes.
Hi. I'm Helen Epstein. I'm freelance, but I report a lot for the New York Review of Books. And I'm the author of The Invisible Cure, Why We Are Losing the Fight Against AIDS in Africa. Many African governments have begun exploring the possibility that what's going on over there, the reason why the epidemic is so severe, is not because people have so many sexual partners, but because there's a greater tendency for people to have a small number of overlapping long-term partnerships, and this creates a kind of superhighway for the spread of the virus, even though most people are having relatively few partners. And I was wondering if the African-American leadership in this country was interested in exploring whether this might be a factor in the heterosexual epidemic here as well, and what might be, if so, what might be the underlying social and economic drivers that might be involved.
Dr. Gill, would you like to take that question?
Helen, for your question. I think what you raise is the fact that we don't understand enough about sex and sexuality in this country, just like we don't around the rest of the world. And I think if we had a better understanding and talked more openly and honestly and were willing to do the research to be able to look at some of those factors, we'd be able to have a better response. So I think your point's well taken. We know that concurrency makes a big difference, along with all the things that come with concurrency, including other sexually transmitted diseases that then fuel the risk and spread of HIV. So I think what it really does highlight the fact that oftentimes in our discussions about our response, we haven't done the basic core behavioral research to build upon to be able to have the right kind of prevention response.
But it is a fact. If you have unprotected sex with a lot of different partners, you put yourself right in line for contracting the disease. And here in the United States, if Bubba is the baby's daddy, and he's got Shaniqua and Tyrese and Maybelline and Mary, and he's the baby daddy for all of them, everybody is at risk. And if Shaniqua, Tyrese, Mary are not in proper care, not only is she at risk, but her children are at risk too. And just like it's happening in parts of sub-Saharan Africa, it is happening right here in America with all the baby daddy, baby mama, and the children that they create.
Thank you. Over here, please tell us what media organization you're with.
Hi, I'm freelance from Canada. My name's Ted. As much as I was able to read in Obama's statement regarding the CDC issue, he mentioned homophobia, but he didn't mention Black America. And I'm wondering if anybody on the panel had any comment about that. Thank you.
Yes, Senator Obama did talk about homophobia and stigma in general, broadly beyond homophobia. He also talked about poverty. He talked about an inclusive AIDS strategy, and he explicitly talked about a national AIDS strategy. In the language that we are talking about in a national AIDS strategy, the Black community would be front and center in such a strategy. So by supporting a national AIDS strategy, I think that he implicitly supported the importance of focusing on Black America.
He's also been tested.
Next. Any other questions? Yes, right here. Please give us your media organization, and then we'll come over there.
Kenneth Miller, Los Angeles Sentinel newspaper in Los Angeles. One of the things that I'm not hearing spoke about more of is getting the message out to young Black people. Young Black teens who don't necessarily fit into the category of being gay, but just young Black adolescent teens who this message is not getting to. What is the specific plan of making sure that they're inclusive in getting the message?
Pernessa, would you like to respond to that, or Congresswoman Lee?
I think you're absolutely right that we have to do a better job of getting to Black teens. The National AIDS strategy must include Black teens, but also Black Americans must make Black teens a focus of saving our children. We must, now within ourselves, but I believe that the Calvary is not coming. That's my position. After 20 years of this work, the Calvary doesn't seem to be coming, and we, you at the paper in Los Angeles, every Black newspaper, every Black family, we must begin to become responsible for our own children. And as we do that, we must also put pressure and ask the government and all of America to help save our children. But we must be responsible for Shaniqua and Bebe and Ray Ray and all of their children. We must do that.
Let me add to that that is absolutely correct. And we have to add one additional factor on this entire effort with regard to messaging with young African-American teens, and that is the abstinence-only policy of the United States of America. In our country, federal funds are allowed only to school districts which support abstinence-only. We are not allowed to teach comprehensive sex education. And this has been a disaster. It's been a disaster. So for years, I've worked on my legislation, the Responsible Education About Life Act. It's Be For Real, which would allow federal funds to the states to begin to develop comprehensive sex education for our public schools, because this is where we have to, from a government level, from an educational level, begin to change our policies. And so hopefully next year, and we built much congressional support with over 100 co-sponsors for the repeal of the abstinence-only policy, but hopefully next year we'll be able to get it passed and signed into law.
And Dr. Gale said it earlier.
As the recent CDC numbers showed 34% of new infections are now occurring among young people 13 to 29 years of age. So we know that there needs to be a much more intensified response to young people. The majority of those are young people of color. And if we don't include young people in the response and make sure that we have responses that are tailored to the needs of young people, we're not going to make the kind of impact that we have to. So it's clear that we have to have a focus on young people if we're going to have an impact on reducing the number of new infections.
And 70% of the new HIV/AIDS cases among young people in the United States are black. So that brings us back to that issue. We're going to go to Denise Rolock Barnes, who's representing the National Newspaper Publishers Association.
Yes, and the Washington Informer in Washington, D.C. One of the things we've been critical of, this press conference is about the criticism of the U.S. government and its neglect of black America, but we've also been critical of black America for not stepping up as well. How much of that is related to, because we're asking for increased funding and support for traditional African American organizations and institutions. What difference is that funding going to make? Or what can you predict the difference will be in how we, within our own community, address our problem?
2 years ago, Julian Bond, the chairman of the board of the NAACP, challenged Black America to step forward. Black America launched a national Black AIDS mobilization. I'm very proud to say that in the intervening years, 12 of the major national Black AIDS organizations have developed strategic action plans to end the AIDS epidemic in Black America. They include the NAACP, the Urban League, Rainbow Push, 100 Black Men, 100 Black Women, the National Council of Negro Women, the National Newspapers Publishers Association, the American Urban Radio Networks. They also include mega churches like Potter's House and Bishop T.D. Jakes, the National Coalition of Black Pastor Spouses. So those organizations are ready to respond, but they need an honest partner. They need an honest government partner. They need foundations and corporations that will help them do this mobilization. In our last report, we looked at what commitments those organizations are doing, and they are committed to step forward, and they are ready to step forward, but they need the support to make that happen.
I want to also add that all of the 6 historical black denominations have stepped up to the plate and are calling on all of their congregations to address HIV and AIDS. Last year in 2007, we saw a 300% increase in black churches doing HIV testing across the country. In Florida, the AME churches called on every AME church in the state to do HIV testing. And we have many, many, many models of how the African American faith community is stepping up to the plate. And I agree with Phil, we need adequate, effective partnerships.
And let me just add to that with regard to the funding from the federal level. The African American community pays boku in terms of federal taxes. We deserve some of our federal tax dollars back in terms of funding initiatives that will address this epidemic in our community.
We're going to come over here, and then we're going to come back over there. I see you.
I'm Twala Williams with the Dallas Examiner, and in the numerous events that I attended built around addressing the issue of HIV and AIDS, what I have not heard is a concentrated effort to bring the parents back to the table and to make them an integral part of fighting this battle against HIV and AIDS. My question is, have you given up on the parents? Is there an actual plan to bring them in, and or have you gone beyond that?
When I'm out on the road speaking, and I do a lot of work within schools, HBCUs, high schools, churches, nothing changes because we haven't had honest, open conversation about sex, sexuality, well-being. Until we're able to have those honest, open conversations, nothing's going to change. Parents don't talk to their children about sex because they don't know what to say. Children talk to other young children about sex because they very often listen to each other. So we really have to figure out what is the real dialogue that is needed to be developed to get everybody speaking
honestly, openly, in a way that makes them feel comfortable to communicate the information that must be given to young people to help them save themselves. And you would be surprised if you talk to young people honestly, openly. You'd be surprised the choices they will make for themselves. And very often, it's not the choice you think they would make for themselves.
For many black parents, the reason why they have difficulty speaking to their children is because of the low HIV science literacy in our community. So to answer your question, no, we have not given up on parents. Parents matter. They matter tremendously. And for those of us who are parents, we understand the role that, and the responsibility we have to play in fighting this epidemic. I want to go over there to Dazon Dixon.
Thanks, Phil. I'm Davon Dixon Jallo with Sister Love Incorporated in Atlanta and in South Africa. And I'm also the producer and host of Sister's Time, WRFG, 89.3 FM in Atlanta. I was quite disturbed by the first question that was posed by the writer in New York. And according to a lot of the data and information that we've gathered and read on African Americans and risk in the United States, we are not practicing any sexual behaviors any more aberrantly or differently from anyone else. And so I think we can take issue with that point, first off. But my question then leads to, then what is it? And so how will the National AIDS Strategy for Black America demand or look at what's called social determinants or social justice issues that exacerbate HIV and AIDS in black communities in the United States, in North America, and around the world? I think we're short in the science on determining the power of those, of the influence of those other issues, and I'm curious as to how our strategy will look at those in question and in the science.
Yeah. Let me just make a comment, and I don't want to interpret what anybody's question was meant to say, but I think that we do know that different patterns of sexual behavior do have an impact. And in fact, that if people are more likely to have small numbers, but at the same time, that has a greater chance of fueling the epidemic. And I think, you know, we have some data to suggest that, in fact, there may be patterns of concurrency that exist that could be a driver for the epidemic. That said, I think the big issue that you raise is that if we have a strategy, a national strategy, it has to be based on data. It has to be based on what we know about behavior, about risk factors, about the underlying issues that exist in our communities that may have an impact on fueling the epidemic. And we have to look at those issues holistically. So I think the point is we've got to be very clear about what the basis is. Research has to be a part of that. And I think we can't make statements without having the data to support those.
We're going to ask Dr. Jacob Gale from the Ford Foundation, and then Congresswoman Lee to also answer that question.
Okay, thanks, and I want to thank you for that question. In fact, we've got to remember that we all live and we all love within context. We are human beings. We live in a social context. We live in an economic, political context, cultural context. And so just as we talk about the need for comprehensive sexuality education and curriculum, we have to look at the response, our response to HIV in black community as also a comprehensive one, not only one that looks at the actual virology, the epidemiology, but we've also got to know a little bit about the cultures and the context, the kinds of factors that predispose and enable people to find themselves where they are. And also, in terms of people who are living with HIV, as we hope to be able to live longer with HIV as a chronic livable disease, how do we then ensure that our social conditions allow us to be able to do so with all the rights and all the dignities and all the opportunities that any of us should have as human beings?
Yes, one of the issues that I want to raise that is oftentimes swept under the rug that we don't deal with has to do with the very glaring, unfortunate, unjust, disproportionate rates of African Americans who are incarcerated, African American men. Okay? We've got to deal with that as part of our overall plan. And a couple of efforts that have been very difficult, quite frankly, in Congress to deal with. But thank goodness Congresswoman Maxine Waters got her bill passed with regard to testing. That's one piece of it that has to happen. Secondly, we're working on my bill to require condoms in our federal prisons. nonprofits, organizations should be able to go in under a specifically designed protocol and distribute condoms. And also, we need to have our federal prisons and state prisons develop comprehensive plans that address the transmission of STIs, sexually transmitted diseases, hepatitis, all of the issues we know that disproportionately affect the African-American community. And so that's one piece of it in terms of jails, federal and state prisons, incarceration rates that we have to address in any type of a national plan.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lee. We are now out of time for this press conference. If any of you are interested in more information on the subject, we invite you to join us for daily breakfast updates that are happening from 7 to 8:30 every morning in the Global Village. In addition, we are publishing a daily newsletter for issues of that includes issues of import to Black Americans. It's called BlackAIDS.org. It's distributed in the Global Village as well as the Media Center. We also are covering the conference live on our website, www.blackaids.org. I want to thank our panelists, Dr. Helene Gale, the Honorable Barbara Lee, Pernessa Seal, Dr. Jacob Gale, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and we remind you that this session is available on the Kaiser WebNet if you want to view it again, and I remind all of you that the day will come when this epidemic will be over, and when it does, it's important for them to know that we were not all monsters, that we were not all cowards, that some of us dare to care in the face of it. Some of us dare to love in spite of it. And some of us dare to fight because of it. Because it is in the caring and the loving and the fighting that we live forever. Thank you.